Hello and welcome to Grace in Focus. I'm Lucas Kitchen with the Grace Evangelical Society. Today's show is going to be unique, I guess you could say. We are still taking questions from listeners like you, but we're going to specifically discuss the GES National Conference. We're going to review that. Now, maybe you didn't know that there is a national conference that we do every year, and it happened recently. We want to tell you about it. So that's what we're going to discuss today. And before we go to our discussion, I'd like to remind you that you can get your questions answered by sending us an email at radio@faithalone.org. Well, here's Dr. Bob Wilkin and Sean Lazar to talk about the 2020 GES National Conference.
Well, thanks for tuning in to Grace in Focus. My name's Sean.
Hi, I'm Bob.
Let's talk about, we just had our national conference recently.
We did.
And it was a weird one for us because we've been doing the national conference for how long?
25 years. This was the 25th annual.
And typically we do it in the spring, beginning of summer.
March, April, May. I think once it was in February.
But then COVID hit. In around March, and we realized, oh, everything
we had to postpone.
Yeah, we had to postpone
because it was supposed to start May 18.
Right, and a lot of people just canceled their events. But we were, you know, we're from Texas, so we decided to postpone it and hold it in October, the end of October. And the theme was the great doctrines of the Bible.
Right, we did the 10 major doctrines of systematic theology. Plus, we added in two more. We added in the doctrine. Actually, we combined two. Anthropology and hamartiology, that is the doctrine of man and the doctrine of sin. And then
right.
We added three more, and that would be the Christian walk. And we added in about Israel, which is sometimes called Israelology, and about the doctrine of eternal rewards, which is sometimes called mythology.
Right. As soon as I started hearing like the messages, I realized just how hard of a topic this was as a conference, because the challenge is to take a topic that theologians have written about for hundreds of years, and they've written hundreds of books about each of these areas of theology, and you had to condense it
into
40 minutes in a way that an average person would understand. And wow, what a challenge it was. And you can see the results at our YouTube channel. It's called GES Vids. Just look up Grace Evangelical Society, GES Vids on YouTube. And we have videos of all of the main conferences.
There were 12 main messages that are up, and there are also 7 workshops that are up as well. So there's a total of 19 messages, which they can hear, but not just hear, they can see and hear.
Right. And then we'll have the audio for the entire conference up at our website pretty soon. What are some takeaways? What were some messages that were kind of important to you at that conference?
Well, that's a good question. All of the main messages were very powerful. I was moved by them. I especially liked the message on Israel. Pastor Dix Winston spoke on Israel. He called it irreplaceable Israel.
Mm-hmm.
And he pointed out if Israel can be replaced in God's plan, which is, by the way, a major view in theological circles, it's called replacement theology.
Right.
Covenant theology holds that view that now the church is the new Israel. And he said if God can take his promises to Israel and give them to somebody else, then your promise of eternal salvation can be taken away too.
Right.
God can give that to somebody else. And so you can't be sure of your own salvation unless the promises to Israel are secure. And I thought that was a very good message. And there were a bunch of other very good messages. I thought your message on the Word of God, which is called Bibliology, was very solid, showing how the Bible is central to our Christian lives. And I had a message on the Christian walk, which tied in with that.
Right.
And I talked about, I called it the Romans 12:2 approach.
Yeah. Actually, let's talk about your talk, because I thought it was one of the stronger ones and something that's practical. And I'm not just saying that because you're my boss and I sign my paychecks. No, I thought it was helpful because you categorized these other ways of approaching Christian spirituality. And I remember one type of spirituality, I think you called it like adrenaline rush spirituality.
The adrenaline rush, yeah.
When you said that, I had never heard that term before, but I realized, oh yeah, I have seen that many times over. And so, correct me if I'm wrong, but adrenaline rush spirituality is, it tries to put you in an environment where you just feel a rush of emotion, and you're kind of like in a on a spiritual high. Churches like this try to get you on a spiritual high on a Sunday so that you can live the rest of the week on this adrenaline rush until you come back to church on Sunday for another adrenaline rush.
Exactly. But we saw this in college ministry where we'd have Christmas conferences or we'd have spring conferences or we'd have activities during the summer, and they were all designed to kind of stoke the fires. And of course, there's nothing wrong per se with being joyful at church and having an experience in which you're very grateful to the Lord. I mean, we should be taking the Lord's Supper every week, and that should be meaningful for us.
Right.
But what I was talking about there was were people who did that excessively, and basically that was their source of strength.
And also they think that is what spiritual maturity looks like, having this adrenaline rush all the time.
Right. In other words, they feel sorry for the people who don't see people being healed all the time, and they don't see the dead raised, or if they go that far,
right.
And they don't see people speaking in tongues, or they don't have this feeling, this powerful
right.
feeling. And look, I'm not knocking, you know, the whole charismatic movement or the Pentecostal movement. I do not believe that is for the church age, but I do believe that is what occurred in the first century, and I do believe there will be many signs and wonders during the tribulation. I just don't see that in the teaching of the epistles and for the church age. But the underlying problem there is it's never been the focus of the Christian life that we somehow rely on feelings.
Right.
It wasn't that way in the first century. Even though they did see signs and wonders, they walked by faith, and the Word of God controlled their thinking.
Right. And I guess the drawback to the adrenaline rush approach to spirituality is when you're in those dry times, and the dry times come. I mean, we're human beings. You know, you can't be excited all the time. Those dry times come. If you're in adrenaline rush spirituality, you're going to think to yourself, I'm out of fellowship with God. Something's wrong with my life because I don't have these emotions all ginned up. And then that leads people even further into like a depression and anxiety because they're like, "What, has God rejected me? I need this more and more and more adrenaline rush." And like all adrenaline rushes, you're always going to go after the bigger rush. The old rushes don't work anymore. So you're going to go after the bigger, more exciting things. And it just gets bigger and bigger and bigger until finally it just collapses.
Right. That's exactly right. One of the things I mentioned is that if you get sick or if you have financial setbacks,
right,
or let's just say an election happens and you don't get the result you want.
Right.
Let's say you really want Joe Biden to win and Joe Biden doesn't win, or you really want President Trump to win and President Trump doesn't win. Well, is that somehow going to negatively affect our Christian walk? It shouldn't.
Right.
Because we walk by faith in the coming king.
Right.
And he's the political ruler that we're looking for.
Right.
He's coming soon, and we're looking for him. And yes, we would like to have our country be peaceful and to get over all the discontent we've had over these last, I don't know, 9 months or so.
Sure. Some of the other, before we get to your view, I think some of the other views, you're talking about the Keswick view, and where do you know? And that was another.
Well,
workshop.
Yeah, don't try rely. No, I talked about that,
and there's
which
like,
is some people's view of Keswick.
Right, right. And there's different Christ views where you have to kind of get into a crisis or something that kind of then spurs. But I think I'm thinking of someone else's talk maybe, but
I also talked about the spiritual disciplines, which they have a role in our Christian life.
Right, spiritual disciplines.
But we're not necessarily pleasing God if we read the Bible so many minutes a day,
right,
and we pray so many minutes a
right.
day, and we evangelize
right.
so much a day or
right.
a week. The truth is, practicing the spiritual disciplines and even going to church is only effective if we are spiritually minded, if
right.
we have what Paul calls the mind of Christ.
Right.
So it's important that we go to a church
right.
that is biblically sound.
Right.
You know, if we're going to a church that's teaching work salvation,
yeah.
well, then we're getting bewitched, as Paul would call it in Galatians 3:1.
Uh-huh. Another view you talked about very negatively was contemplative spirituality. It's this type of spirituality that mostly comes out of kind of Roman Catholic mystical type of practices that evangelicals have have kind of taken over.
Right.
And it also kind of mixes up a Eastern mysticism too, you know, this kind of meditation and sitting in front of candles and trying to empty your minds. And it's becoming popular in some circles, and you came up very strongly against that.
Well, because the biblical approach is, instead of emptying our minds, we're to fill our minds. Romans 12:2, don't be conformed to this world, but be transformed, how? By the renewing of your minds.
Right.
And the same thing is found in 2 Corinthians 3:18. We all with unveiled face beholding as in a mirror, that would be God's word, the glory of the Lord, that's the glory of Jesus, are being transformed into the same image.
Right.
So when we see the Mount of Transfiguration, and we see in our mind's eye Jesus transfigured with glowing garments and a glowing face, and we see him in his glory, well, that has an impact on us. Because when we see Jesus, our lives are changed. And so, really, the Christian life is more and more falling in love with Jesus, more and more seeing him and being transformed by our vision of him. And so that's why it's vitally important that we hear sound Bible teaching. If we're in a church that's not teaching the scriptures clearly, well, then we're greatly handicapped.
Now, you called your, we don't have much time left, but very quickly, you called your approach the Romans 12:2 approach.
Right.
Is that right? And again, you can watch this talk at our YouTube channel, GES Vids. The title of your talk was The Christian Walk. Anyone can watch your whole talk there, but very, very briefly, in just a few sentences, you've kind of already explained your view. What is the Romans 12:2 approach?
Well, basically, it's the approach that the key to the Christian life is the Spirit of God taking the Word of God and making us spiritually minded. Christianity is really a battle for our minds. We need the right mindset. And then, of course, if we have the right mindset, we need to apply it. We need to be doers of the Word, James 1, in order to be effective. But it all starts with the right mindset.
Well, thank you, Bob. And if you're interested in hearing more, once again, you can watch the whole conference on YouTube at our site, GES Vids. Thank you for listening, and we'll see you next time.
See you next time.
Thank you guys for that great discussion. Did you miss an episode of Grace and Focus that you really wanted to hear? Just come to faithalone.org. That's faithalone.org. And we have all our past episodes right there on the site. In addition to this, we have all kinds of other free resources available for you. It's all designed to help you mature and grow in your understanding of Scripture. So come visit us at faithalone.org. That's faithalone.org. On this program, we keep our requests for financial partners to a minimum. But if you are interested in becoming a financial partner with Grace in Focus, you can find out how to do that also at faithalone.org. Our team is really great about answering questions, comments, and feedback. If you've got some, we hope to hear from you. Let me give you our email address so you can do just that. It's radio@faithalone.org. That's radio@faithalone.org. On tomorrow's program, we're going to talk about whether willful sin might lead to a loss of salvation. I'm Lucas Kitchen with Grace Evangelical Society. And until next time, let's keep grace in focus.